Hello, this message is for Sunday evening, May 24th. I'm reading from Philippians chapter 4, and verse 4, where the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Pray, bless the message. Help us to apply it to each of our hearts and lives. Help us to share it with those that you put in our path. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we talked about in Sunday school, the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Philippians to fellow believers, possibly from under house arrest or in prison. But he wrote to them to say thank you for their gift, to be an encouragement to them, and to remind them of some things, like the verses that we just read, to remind them that they always have a reason to rejoice. In junior church, we sing the song where we spell out the words, "I am a Christian. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. I'm a Christian because I have Jesus in my heart." We spell out all the words, "Jesus in my heart, and I will live eternally." As Christians, the Apostle Paul was reminding the Philippians, we always have a reason to rejoice, to be cheerful, to have joy, knowing that we have a Savior in Jesus Christ, we have fellowship with our fellow believers, and we have a home in heaven. And so no matter what's going on in our present day circumstances, we have a reason to rejoice for all eternity because of what Jesus has done for each of us that believe in him. And again, our happiness is not tied to circumstances. Our joy is a direct byproduct, result of what Jesus has done for us. In verse 5, he says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." The word moderation talks about gentleness, patience, and doing what is appropriate. A Christian that believes that they have a home in heaven, that they are in the hand of God, that they are saved, will live their life in such a way that they will be moderate in all of their passions, in all of their emotions, being sober in their living, being free from excess, because they see the big picture. They realize that this is not all there is, that there's more to this life than the time we have here on earth, and they have an eternal hope in heaven. So that affects every area of their life. It affects the words that they say. It affects their actions. It affects how they treat other people because they realize what God has done for them, what God has prepared for them, and that changes their behavior in every area of life. All of us only get in trouble when we put our trust in someone or something outside of the will of God. And then we say, well, that person let me down. That system disappointed me. I lost faith in that thing. And the reason we are disappointed, the reason we lose faith in something is because we put too much belief into something that we should not have done. We took the belief and the faith and the passion that we should reserve for God, for the things of God, and we put that faith, belief, and passion into something temporary. And then it disappoints us because it's not God. It was never designed to do what God is designed and what God has designed us for in meeting those needs. So Paul's challenge to the Philippians and my challenge to each of us today is to put faith in God and be passionate about what he has for us in his will and be passionate about what God has in store for us in eternity. And again, we're only disappointed when we put our energies into things that were not designed to meet those needs. We're not designed to temper those energies. We put our expectations on things that we should not expect that much out of. And we fail to trust God, and we put our trust and our hope and our passion into other things. And that's what the word moderation means. Control those appetites. Control those passions. Direct them toward God. The next verse talks about the opposite end of the spectrum, which is how we worry and care for things that we don't have control over. The next verse says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." If we have confidence in God, and then we'll be free from worry and anxiety. And again, all of us need this reminder from time to time. If we truly are trusting in God, our trust cannot be in God and be worried about everything that we're trusting God to take care of at the same time. If we're trusting God, then we shouldn't worry. If we're worrying, then we're not trusting God. They shouldn't be able to exist together. And right along with that, being careful for nothing is being thankful for everything. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And again, God knows everything that we need. God knows everything that we're going to need. But God would like us to remind ourselves and remind him in our prayer how much we need him. Remind ourselves and show God that we know how much we need him in our prayer, our supplication, and our thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is after the fact. Thank you for what you've already done. But in Matthew, the Bible says, Jesus was speaking. He said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Jesus said, along with the Apostle Paul here, don't worry about those things. Don't be careful over those things. If you say you trust God, trust him for the practical things of life. And use that, use the energy you would have used on worrying to be extra thankful, to make your requests known to God. Use that time to talk to God instead of using that time selfishly to worry. And then it says, the next verse, "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The peace that only comes from God. The peace that God gives. Talks about the peace that we need to feel and that we only comes from God. And talks about in Isaiah, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." So if we put our thoughts and our focus and our mind on what God wants us to focus on, doing his will, giving the gospel, trying to draw closer to him in our time with him and our prayer and our reading of God's word. If we put our thoughts and our passions in that path, then he will deliver to us the peace that we need. The peace that passeth all understanding. Again, anything that we've defined, anything that we've quantified, anything that we've put into categories and said, if you have this need, this will meet that need. God's peace covers all our man-made categories. God's peace does more than anything we've quantified in life. It surpasses. The Bible says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. In other words, we don't even know the depth of the needs that we have, that God is able to meet those needs before we ask, and to a greater extent than we can imagine. And it says it'll keep our hearts and minds. Again, however you'd say, I have a pain. I'm worried about something. I'm stressed about something. Give that over to God. Say, God, you are the keeper of my heart. You're the keeper of my emotions. And you're the keeper of my mind. You're the keeper of my thoughts. What we're going to talk about in a minute. The truths that I believe. I want God to be responsible. I want God to be the keeper of both my heart and my mind. And he's able to do that through Christ Jesus. Because of our faith in him, because of what Jesus did for us, we can hand that over to God and say, because of what Jesus did for us, that we should be called the sons of God, that we should be part of God's family. We can trust God with those needs.
Then we get into Philippians 4:8, where Paul gives us a long list of things that if we don't know what to think about, if we don't know what to dwell upon, he gives us a criteria. Sometimes I call it a filter. But he says, if
you're going to stop and think about something, and if you're not sure if it's worry, if you're not sure if it's profitable, put it into this, into these categories, and see
where it comes out. The first one is whatsoever
things are true.
All of us have
things that we know to be true, and the way that we view the world is shaped by what we already know to be true.
Okay, so sometimes you can be
watching a video like you might be doing now, and you know how big your hand is, or you've seen another person,
you know how big their hand is. So if somebody were to reach out and
block the camera, that doesn't mean that my hand is just expanded in
size.
Because you know how big my hand is, it means your perspective has changed.
And that's what we know to be true.
So even if I observe something that looks a little weird, my brain, your brain, does the same thing, puts it in perspective.
When we have church outside,
as we did for this Sunday morning service, we use fisheye cameras where it picks up a big range, wide screen. It picks up a lot of information from left to right, but it makes everything curved.
And if you look through that fisheye lens
and you've never seen a building or a sign or a person, you might think everything in that picture was curved because that's how the lens presents it. But we know that most buildings are built straight up and down, and so if we look through a lens and everything is kind of shifted and kind of stretched out, our minds fill in the gaps based on what we know to be true. When Paul talks about that word true, he's saying get a foundation of what truth is and then view all of life with that truth in mind. So when you do see something that looks out of place, when you do see something that doesn't line up, you can use that truth to make it align in your mind and in your heart. Our perspective on life will change. We'll see things from a different perspective, and it will challenge what we know to be true. And that's why it's so important that we know that truth is true, that we understand what is right and what is wrong. And so Paul says, before you go down that line of the other things on that list, make sure that it is true, that it's based on something that's provable, it's based on something that's verifiable, and it's based on belief, and most importantly, in what God has said. Base your truth on the Word of God. And that filter, that perspective, affects everything else on this list, and it affects every other area of life. The opposite of truth is false. We've been doing some at-home learning with the kids, and sometimes they'll have a true or false quiz, true or false test. And those are one of my favorite kinds of tests because usually they're pretty obvious. If you know what the material is and you know what is true, then the false ones just stand out. They're obvious. You know, it'll be an absolute statement. You'll know, well, that's not true. That's false. And so God says we should live our lives that way. The only way we can recognize what is false is to be familiar with that which is true.
If we don't get that straight,
The rest of our life will suffer. Truth always reveals error. If you put truth next to error, error stands out. It sticks out. It looks weird. It looks funny next to something that you know that is true. And so we have to start all of our processes, all of our emotions, our cares, our worries, our things we think about on do we know it's true before we continue down that road.
The next word is similar but not the same. It's honest. It talks about what is honorable and reputable. In the Bible, it sometimes uses that word grave or gravity. It talks about showing respect
and not violating the conscience. So it can be something that we can know is true, but is it honest? Does it deserve our respect? Does it have a reputation of something that needs our attention? Or is it frivolous? It could be
something that's technically true, but has no bearing
on your life. And so should you spend all of your time thinking about those things that have no application to your own life? Or should we furthermore say it's not only true, it's honest? It has an honorable reason for being part of my thought process. Next word is just. Talks about relationships between people, justice, fairness. As a Christian, we should have integrity in every area of our life. So if we're going to spend time thinking about some things, those things should be just things. They should be honest things, and they should be
things that we know
line up with the truth of the Word of God, line up with what we know is correct.
The next word is pure. It talks about
innocence in our thoughts, innocence in our feelings, purity, giving someone the benefit of the doubt, giving ourselves the benefit of the doubt, and saying, the things that I think about, are they pure?
Well, if they're not pure,
they'll probably lead me into worry. They'll probably lead me into distress and things I can't be thankful for. If they're not pure, if they're not just, if they're not honest, and if they're not true.
Next word is lovely.
Talks about what is pleasing, what is agreeable. All of us either are this person or we know somebody where we're sour. We get our perspective off, and we get angry, and we think everybody's out to get us, and we have to be careful, because our thinking leads us down this path. And the opposite of that is things that are lovely. Noticing when people show kindness. Noticing in God's creation. Noticing when the sun is out and the flowers are blooming. And thinking God did all of this extra stuff for us that he didn't have to do it, but he did it for each of us. Things that are lovely.
Things that are of good report. Talks about
the actions and the respect that we show to other people that God created. And again, God made all of us. God created all of us. And so when we say, is it of good report, it talks about being virtuous, courteous, showing respect.
And showing, being an example
of Christian belief
and Christian values. Then it says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he said, you have to look for
the good. Look for the good and look for something that's worthy of praise. Where do you see God working in these situations? Where can I praise God for what he has done in my life? How do we direct our thoughts? And then it says, think on these things. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise,
think on these things. Make them the object of
your study. Make them the object of your practice. The things
that you think about over and over again. The things that you think about in your spare time.
Somebody said, you become an expert at what you spend your spare time doing. That thing that you do when you have nothing else going on, where do you devote your time and attention? Think on
these things. And then verse 9, it says, those things
which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do.
And the God of peace shall
be with you.
Paul said,
we talked about what we put our faith in, but moderation, talk about who we trust in. Paul said, to the extent that you've seen God work through me in these areas. So the Apostle Paul said, if you've seen truth be
given from my mouth, or
truth, you've read truth
from the letters that God
allowed me to write. If you've seen honesty, if you've seen fairness,
being just,
if you've seen these things,
if you have learned and
received and heard and seen in me.
He said, if all that lines up,
if you can get through that whole filter, you can get through that whole list, and you see some things in my life, in the Apostle Paul's life, that you want to copy, emulate, and do similar to the way that he did it,
then do it. He said, only those things.
Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do.
And he says, and the God of peace shall
be with you.
So again, Paul said,
if you witnessed it, and it is what you know to be true, if you've witnessed it for yourself, and it fits into these categories, not only think about them, use that to guide your thoughts, to keep you from worry, to make you thankful, to make you bring your needs to God instead of going somewhere else and trying to meet those needs elsewhere. If it meets that criteria and you've seen it exemplified, you've seen it done, then not only think on those things, but do those things. Do them and be that example to somebody else. I talked about it a lot when I get an opportunity to preach, but I appreciate the examples that we have in this church about people that know the truth, but people that act on it when it comes to salvation. It wasn't enough just for them to trust Christ, know they have a home in heaven, and not be worried about that anymore. That was enough for them, but it wasn't enough for them as a person to say, I'm going to stop there. I got to tell somebody else. There's no reason I should keep this to myself. I should tell somebody else how they can know Jesus as their Savior, how they can have a home in heaven, and the willingness to share that good news with other people.
And always had
examples of patience. That's not my strong suit. There's a lot of things that I'm impatient about right now, but there's plenty of examples that God has given me, both in our church and my family, about how to grow in patience. And I'll be honest, some of the best examples are those that I watched struggle with a temper, struggle with being impatient.
But I watched God
use them, and they grew in grace, and I've learned a lot by watching them mature and grow in patience and love and understanding. And so God puts examples in our lives. It doesn't mean you should put all your faith in them and then one day they let you down and then you stop believing. No, Paul, in the Bible we just read, Paul said, if I'm falling into place and I'm doing these things the way that God commands us to do, then copy me as much as you can. As much as I'm following God, follow me. Put your faith in God. Put your passion in God. Put your hope in God. But look to those examples that God has placed in your life. And use what you can. Learn from their faith. Grow from their faith. So it's a good reminder when times are good, when we say, well, I've got nothing to complain about. I've got nothing to worry about. But it's an even better reminder when things aren't all wonderful. And we say, well, I do have some things I could worry about if I get my focus off of God. I do have some things I could put in my own truth if I get my focus off of God's truth. And we can
veer off that path
very easily. We can veer off the true, honest, just path and get into our own creations, our own beliefs outside of the Word of God. And we will get ourselves in trouble that way. So Paul says, think on these things. And then not just think, but do. Not just think,
but do. And so I hope we can take
something that we've looked at today and apply it to our lives right now. Say, here's what I'm feeling. Here's what I'm experiencing. How has God already prepared me to go through this situation? Not only to have what I need for myself, but to be an example for others as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you do love us. Thank you that you do show us grace, mercy.
But you show us truth. You show us what is just in your word. You show us how to be
honest in our actions.
You show us how to
look for the lovely things in life to focus our attention upon.
Thank you that you trust us
to be the example to those around us. Thank you for the people that you do put in our lives to teach us.
Bless us during this time. Help us as
we go back into meeting here at the church.
That we do what you want us to do at this time. And that beyond all the
practical things, that we put our worry and our care on you. That we follow your direction, that we'd act, that we'd do, and that we
trust you and love you more. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.